Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Made it out on right. Thank you. You didn't leave me no forsaken.
From the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, broadcasting from the birthplace of gospel music. I only got sound in one ear. I don't know why, but we're going to figure it out in a minute. But we are, again, broadcasting live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, from the birthplace of gospel music. And as always, I'm excited to be here. It's your boy, your host, Minister Daniel L. King. Look, man, I am here. It's Monday. Look, y'all, we still here. We still surviving. I ain't even say surviving. We still thriving. We're going to get it in for the Lord like we do every time we come on the air. As always, I'm not in the studio. I'm never alone. I got the best producer in the land handling the business on the other side of the glass. The one, the only, Latonya Melton, is handling all of the business as usual. And then if you don't get to her, you'll get to Michelle. That's the intern. She's taking care of all the business on her side of the glass. Amen, amen, and amen. So look, y'all got to come on in here and have a good time with us today. Look, let me get it for you like this. If it's your first time listening, first time watching, let me give you a rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. That'll get you to my producer. Again, that'll get you to either to my producer, Latonya, or the intern, Michelle. That'll get you to one of them. Or, watch this, if that don't get you, push one. If you want to call into the show, that's 323-870. I'm real confused right now. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's your email address. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. Follow us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's 2T's 1L 1O, TTLO Radio, and you can find us that way. If you want to follow us on Instagram, that's right. Follow us on Instagram. You can do that as well. Follow us on IG. Real simple, real easy to do. Follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can follow us on Instagram at TTLO Radio. That's 2T's 1L 1O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com, real simple, /TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Looking forward to hearing and seeing from you guys that way. Don't forget the live streams are up and running. That's right. You can find us on the book. You can find us on Facebook as well. The live stream is up and running. I see some of y'all coming on in. Y'all come on in. I'm still doing some sharing. We got a little different setup in here. And all that good stuff. But thank y'all so much for those of you who are already doing the sharing. But it's real simple, real easy to do. Again, it's facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Don't forget, we also are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can follow us and find us on your iHeartMedia app. All you got to do is download the iHeartRadio app if you don't already have it. Download the iHeartRadio app. That will get you not only the TTLO Radio show, it'll also get you the Healthy Soul Talk show, which will soon be resuming its live broadcast every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Then on that's with your girl Kimberly Thomas, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, let me get that right. And then on Thursdays, you can catch Grindology with your girl, Lisette Herndon, for all of your branding and marketing needs. She can help you with all of that good stuff. Yes, sir. You get all of those shows on your iHeartMedia app. Okay, this computer is doing whatever it wants to do. All right. So, yeah, man, that's pretty much – I think I covered everything. I think I did. I hope I did. Y'all pray for me if I didn't. We're going to get it together. So, man, look, I am just excited, again, to be here, man. Had a great – I don't know about y'all. Had a great, great weekend in worship. Just had a good time in worship. And I'm just excited about what is going to be happening next around this place, man. I'm just excited for what God is doing. I'm just excited, man, so because when the doors reopen for church, I just want to see if the people are going to come running in droves. Yeah, this computer did a whole update over here. All right. Like, what's really going on? But anyway, I want to see if the people are going to come running to the church in droves. I'm looking for people just to be, I'm looking for people to be waiting at the door. I hope folks have parking problems on that first Sunday. In my mind, I've had to calm myself down from thinking about how the service is going to go on that first service when we return back into God's house. I'm just ready and excited for what God is going to do in this place and in churches across the country, man. I'm excited to see what people are going to do. And my hope and my prayer is that not only will churches be full, but I would hope that God would do something mighty and continue to move on the hearts of leaders across our city and across our state, and that churches that normally did not fellowship would now realize that they can't do this alone. Come on now. That they would now realize that they cannot do this alone, and that they would be compelled to work with their neighbors in and around this place, this city we call Chicago. So I am so looking forward to that great day, man. I believe God is going to do a major, major work. And who am I to put a limit on God? So I'm expecting great things in the kingdom. Y'all tell me, man, how was y'all's weekend? How was everybody's weekend? Did everybody have a good weekend? How was y'all's internet? How was everybody's virtual service this past weekend? Did everybody have a good virtual service weekend. I think we had a good weekend, man. I get excited anytime we have service. I'm not going to say I'm getting used to service. I don't think we'll ever get used to 10 people sitting in a room for service. But then again, I did get used to that because I remember being at a little church called New Life Baptist Church, and we only had a handful of members too, and we started off with 10. So it's a wonderful thing. But I said this the other day, because people have been saying how much they miss going to church, how much they miss the in-house church experience. And you know, my thing is this is what I feel like God put in my spirit for people who say they're missing the gathering, they're missing the church experience. I think right now, because of the separation, because we're all being separated from the house, y'all stay with me, I promise you I'm going somewhere, because we're all being separated from the house, I believe people are, my thought is that people are, you're being forced to rebuild your personal relationships. I think the reason so many people are uncomfortable sitting at home is not so much because they miss the crowd. It's easy to hide in a room with 50, 60, 70, 80 people. Now, if y'all got 300, 400 people in your church, it's easy for you to hide when you're sitting in the congregation. Y'all don't hear me. I ain't going to get no help. It's easy to hide when you're sitting in the congregation. It's easy to hide behind other people. It's easy to hide behind what other folks, it's easy to hide what you're going through. All of those things become real easy because here's the deal. Because, see, everybody is there, and that corporate worship, you can hide in corporate worship. I know y'all, somebody said, what do you mean? What do you mean, preacher? See, when you're at home, and if you're by yourself, and now it's you, your cell phone, your iPad, your tablet, your MacBook, or your laptop, whatever it might be, it's just you there and God. So there's nobody. So now your true worship is going to show itself. I'm gonna help somebody in a minute. Your true worship is going to show itself because see when you're alone and you're sitting at home in worship, now it's just technically it's just you and God. It's just you and God when you're at home. And when you're at home in worship, you got to figure out, am I going to, because see, at church, you know, you got some covering. Because see, people on the left of you got their hands raised up. Some folk on the right got their hands raised up. And everybody just said, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, and all that, you know. And so you blend right in. Can you give a hallelujah, Jesus, when you're at home by yourself? Can you give a hallelujah, Jesus, when you're at home by yourself? Can you give a hallelujah, Jesus? Is it possible? Is it in your spirit to when you're sitting in the house and you're sitting at your kitchen table, you're sitting at your dining room table, you're sitting on the edge of your bed, you know everybody may watch service somewhere else, but you're sitting in all of these different locations. Can you still give God a hallelujah shout when you're all alone sitting at home by yourself? Huh? Come on, ladies, say, yes, I can. Because, see, I think that's where some of us are having some issues. I miss the gathering. I miss the multitudes. I miss being in the room with like-minded believers. I miss sitting in the room. Come on, Veronica Maneri. I see y'all in the watch party. I miss that gathering. But the question is, can't you worship? See, because it's not about, you know, it's not about what you do when people are watching. Y'all don't hear me. It's not about what you do when people are watching. It's about what you do when it's just you and God. What you do when it's just you and God. Can you worship him when you're sitting watching? Because, see, here's the deal. Because, see, are you, watch this. I preached a sermon one time. Tanya, helped me out. Something about being in the position. In the position for transition or transition into the position, something like that. Y'all, you know my brain go. But I preached a sermon And here's the deal. When you're sitting at home, are you putting yourself in position to worship? I didn't even get the title of today's article, but I'm gonna tell y'all this on phone right in. But are you in position to worship when you're sitting at home? You know, because here's the deal. Are you giving God, watch this, the same, you in a hurry. Ooh, I missed the church. I want to go back. I see the post on Facebook. I can't wait to gather. Here is the question. When you're sitting at home on Sunday, oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost. When you're sitting at home on Sunday, are you still dressing like you're ready for church? Are you still preparing? Like, are you still giving God the honor of getting dressed and putting on your Sunday best? Or are you just laying on the couch with your scarf, your bonnet on, or whatever? Because watch this. If you wouldn't show up for church, any kind of way, but you worship any kind of way on Sunday, I'm not saying, now watch this. I'm not saying, because this is going to make some of us look at ourselves differently, right? Because if we get up, we do our hair, we put our extra eyelashes on, we put on a half a pound of makeup, we casket, you know, we got our casket makeup on Sunday, we got our, as my grandma used to say, we got our ruage on our face, because she couldn't say ruage, we got our ruage on our face, we got all this stuff going, we got our lipstick on, we in full glamour, fellas, we got fresh shades, we done put the extra grease on the bald head, we got our shoes shined, we done all these things. What are you doing on Sunday morning now? For those of you that don't have to physically go to your church to help with the virtual worship, what are you doing now? Are you, come on, Veronica, are you casket sharp at home? Because see, here is my question. If you ain't casket sharp at home and you say, I'm worshiping him just like I would if I was at the church, then that means maybe you don't need to be casket sharp at church on Sunday morning. So are you dressing to impress other people, or you're dressing to impress God? And if you're dressing to impress God on Sunday, then what are you doing at home at 10:45, 11:15, and 12:15 on Sunday mornings when you're sitting on your couch or laying in your bed? That's a real question. Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just asking you what you do. I didn't mean to go this route, but sometimes it's just the way stuff goes. I just want to know what y'all do. What do you all do on Sunday mornings? Those of you who say, I miss the people coming to church. I miss the gathering. I miss it so much, and I just wish people would I wish they would hurry up and clear this thing. I wish they would get this thing done. Yeah, well, are you worshiping really? Which one of you is the real you? Do you worship the Lord on Sunday with a clean behind? Oh, glory to him. I just asked a real question. I'm sorry. Or are you worshiping him in what you slept in the night before? Because see, please don't. I'm not picking on nobody. But here's the question. You know. I know what y'all are gonna say. The Lord knows my heart. He know my heart. He know the Lord know if I had to go down to the church house, I would pull out my 4-inch heels and my little tight skirt, and I would put on my bestest suit, my 2-piece, my 3-piece, my 4-piece. You know, I would get my best. Which one is it? Which one is it? Huh? I feel preachy. Which one is it? Which one are we looking for? Which instance of God are we looking for? Are we wanting God to see us in our Sunday best or our Sunday worst? Come on, Veronica, baby, he can smell your butt too. Huh? My God. I just want to know which version of you shows up. Because see, what's the term? It kind of played out a little bit now, but the term it was real hot last summer. Keep that same energy. I don't really hear people saying that no more. But keep that same energy on Sunday. What energy do you have? What energy are you bringing to the virtual worship experience on Sunday morning? Because, see, this is your time. The reason some of us are having issues and some of you all have issues is because this is the time where it's personal. especially for those of you who live alone. And you're used to going to church, and you're used to sitting in the fellowship, and you got your brothers and sisters all around you, and you can raise your hand because they're raising their hands. But now you're sitting at home, and if you raise your hands at home and you feel some kind of way, uh-oh, I'm gonna touch it. This ain't praying break Friday, but I feel like I gotta go here. If you feel some kind of way, am I confused? I'll pause for 1 second. Are the words? Did you do that?
It started to generate
cash. Oh, okay, well, praise him. I see. But here is, here's the thing. Are you praising him in spirit and in truth? Meaning this, it doesn't matter where you are. If I'm in a church with 1,200 seats or I'm sitting in a house on the side of my bed, can I still lift up my hands and give him praise like I would if I was in the sanctuary? Because if I feel funny doing it at home, that means I've been doing it. I've been fake phony kicking it. I'm gonna steal your line for a few minutes. I've been fake phony kicking it for a long time because see, I feel all right when I'm doing it with a whole bunch of other people. Huh? I feel all right when I'm doing it with other people, but at home I feel funny. Can I share some of y'all I learned from the good doctor Darius Brooks about worship and praise being intimacy? I need to take a sip of water because I feel like I'm going to go somewhere. Worship, come on now, and worship and praise, there is a level of intimacy to it. And watch this. Only you know what you like and how you like it. Can I keep going? Only you know what you like and how you like it. What do I mean? What I mean is don't be doing extra when you're around other people knowing that that ain't what you really like. So if you're a praiser and a shouter in church, guess what? And if you hollering amen, come on. If you hollering amen in the church house after every word the preacher preached, are those real amens, or are you just doing it because you heard people 2 rows behind you say amen? I don't get nobody. I'm just asking. It's Monday, but I got a different kind of energy I feel right now. I want to know what y'all doing. What are we doing on Sunday mornings? I'm gonna ask the question that Bishop Larry tried to ask on the song "My Worship for Real." Is your worship for real? At the beginning of that song, he gives a description. He says, it's time out for praying church. The leader says, sway and sway. The leader says, lift your hand, you lift your hand. Watch this. What I've learned is no preacher or praise team leader has ever had to tell me to lift my hands anymore once I got my relationship with God right. My God. Once my relationship with God was right, I just learned to, look, my hands just go up. I know the song says we lift our hands in the sanctuary, but if truth be told, if I'm the church, if I'm the church, huh? Come on now, if I'm the church, and the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Come on now. And come on. I want to know, what do you do when you're at home? I see your auditory. What do you do? Why can't you worship? Do you have that same praise energy when you're at home? Do you have that same vigor, that same zeal when you're at home? Because, see, God seeks true worshipers. That's why we got this time to get it right. This is why we have this time off. We have this time now where you can sit at home and now you can commune with God. You, if you got family, you and your families can sit together and y'all can worship without word. Watch this. Now you can lift your hands because, look, it don't matter because ain't nobody see you lift your hands. This is the time to clear out all those inhibitions. This is the time to move beyond inhibitions. This is the time to move up to true worship. This is the time to really show God what type of worshiper you really are. That's the word right there, Veronica. Authentic in your worship. Can you be authentic in your worship? Is it real to you? Is it real to you? When do we move from fiction to fact? Come on, Shante. Shante says, no, I talk to the TV. And I still encourage the preacher. I know that's right. And here is the this church that we're having right now, these services that we're having right now, this is where true worshipers are having some moments. Because see, true worshipers, those of us who can be driving in our car and listening to certain music and a song just reminds us of God, and then we have that, then we get that moment. Our Toy says grace before judgment. We need to study to show ourselves approved. And this is the time. I agree with you, sir. This is the time. If your church doesn't have an online Bible study, maybe you need to find an online Bible study. Maybe this is the time to dig into some word. This is the time to buy some books and dedicate some time, a day or so out the week, where you can say, you know what, I'm going to open my Bible. And this is what I tell you all the time. Get y'all a Message Bible. Get a Message Bible and start to dig into the Word. Start to dig and find out what praise and worship really is. I'm not going to teach you because I've taught it way too many times on this show, but start to realize what lifting of the hands really means. Start realizing what dancing really means, what leaping for joy really means. Start recognizing where that came from. And now you're not just doing it because the musicians hit the click track. We don't need no more folks dancing because the click track came on. We don't need any more dancing because the click track and because the drummer, oh, that's my bump. The bass player, they playing your favorite bump. The organist, the whole music section, they playing your bump, and now you feel excited. We don't need any more of that. I need y'all to watch this. I need you to get your praise on the level to where David's was. When David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem after it had been gone for so long, David's joy and praise came out of him remembering everything that God had done for him. And David got excited, and he didn't care about who was watching. Thank you. Jonathan said, I said this after the pastor of Washington, he's been on fire. I know that's right. He has been. And here is the deal. It doesn't matter. For the preachers who are struggling, you don't want to come preach at your church, and you're struggling because you're used to preaching to a crowd. Well, maybe that's the first problem. Watch this. Jesus didn't care who showed up when he spoke. He just spoke. And word got out because he was speaking life into people. If we were speaking life into people, people would show up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's what he said. It's not about how good your graphics are. It's not about how good your musicians are. It's not about how good any of that stuff is. Are you preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are you just having church? And this was not my not my intended subject matter for today, because I wanted to know where we were and how you all were doing. But here is the deal. We gotta elevate our, when we return to corporate worship, our levels ought to be different. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh God. Our levels ought to be different. We shouldn't be the same worshiper we were second Sunday in March. We've been out of church over a month, almost 6 weeks. We've been out of church. We've been out of gathering. We've not been gathering for 6 weeks. And my question is, when you do come back, your excitement shouldn't come just because you're gathered back together. Your excitement, if anything, ought to be because, you know what, God, I've been worshiping you in private for these last 6 weeks. And what I want to do is, in a public form, give you the glory that I've been giving you in a private form. Look, if you want to show the folks something, I want to show them that since I've been sitting at home, oh, glory, help me now. Since I've been sitting at home, my worship has changed. My praise has matured. My worship has grown up. Oh, God. My level of exhorting has changed. I've learned how to exalt you even the more than I used to. Help me, Jesus. That's what we ought to be showing. Or are we doing something different? That's what we ought to be showing. And if you can't find it in your mind to say, you know what, God, I owe you something different. I remember 1 year, Tanya, I'm sure you might remember this. 1 year for church anniversary. 1 year for a church anniversary at the old church, we had, the thing was, we owe God a better praise. Remember that? Remember that? I got in trouble. Remember that? But that was the theme. The theme was, we owe God a better praise. And I loved it. I said, oh, let's get it, because you're right. We owe him a better praise after all he's done, after all he's brought us through, after everything he continued to show us. We owe him a better praise. So if anything, what I've been doing ought to show me that it ain't good enough. I told y'all about comparing or the parallel between worship and intimacy. Can I talk like I talk? Because this is how I talk. Y'all know how I teach. Can I talk how I talk? Sometimes the regular just ain't good enough. Come on, don't give me. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to elevate some stuff, huh? When you know better, you ought to do better. Huh? So if I know that we've been through, I'm looking on the other side of COVID. Y'all stay with me for a moment. I'm looking past Corona. If I know God has brought me through Corona, brought me through COVID, come on now. If I know he's brought me through, and then watch this, whether I was infected or not, because here's the situation, whether I was infected or affected, the way this thing is working, you can be infected and not know it, never have a symptom. They call that a symptomatic. What do I mean? So I don't know if I had it or didn't have it. I done came through it or not, or whatever circumstances. But I know if when they remove the lockdown. Come on now. When they remove the lockdown and they say we're clear and free, we're free and clear to go back to our churches, we're free and clear to go back and start the gathering again. I know I owe God a better praise than what I was giving him prior to them shutting us down. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all need to get this. Y'all need to get this. Because God has been good to us. He's been good to us. And because he's been good to us, we ought to recognize that we can't continue, come on somebody, we can't continue to do what we were doing prior, come on now, to our dismissal from the church house. Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Y'all better get this. Y'all better get this. Y'all better get this. Come on now, you got it. It's all to be kept. Come on now. All to be kept by you. That's it. Can we get there? Can we get to a place in our worship that we say, you know what? I'm no longer constrained. I'm no longer constrained or I no longer have the inhibitions that kept me locked down, that stopped me from worshiping. Because maybe I recognize, oh God, this is rich. Maybe I recognize that with how many people, can you find out, look it up for me real quick, how many people have died in Illinois, or better yet, if y'all go to the, we'll do it like this, come on now, because there's a song, y'all help me out, a song that says, millions didn't make it, millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. So keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. When God brings you out of this and you can go back, help me, Holy Ghost, and you can go back and look at it like this. I'm on the CDC website. Help me. You can go back and look at right now, 39,083 people have died from this. But you weren't in that number. Huh? 39,083 people have died as of today in this country. That's not counting. That's not the worldwide number. That's not the worldwide number. Huh?
169,000? Yeah. Almost 170,000.
Wow. In the U.S., 746,000 people were affected. That's how many cases were presented in the U.S. But God saw fit to keep you. No praise and worship leader, no preacher, no usher, no deacon, no prophet, no apostle, no bishop, no cardinal, no pope, no archbishop, no master prophet, no prophetess should have to tell you to raise your hands and give God praise. For that reason alone, there ought to be something on the inside of you that makes you want to lift your hands. That makes you wanna clap your hands, that makes you wanna shout hallelujah, that makes you wanna praise, because God kept you through this. Are we so caught up in self? That's why we got this article tonight, and what time is it? Is it, yeah. We're so caught up in this now, because I'm going to tell y'all like this. We got real caught up in being self-sufficient. Huh? We got caught up in being real self-sufficient. We started thinking we could do this on our own. We started making stupid comments like the comments the governor made over in New York saying God didn't do this, we did this. Our first responders, our first line people, God didn't do this, we did this. See that right there? That's a fool. There's a scripture in the Bible that says a fool in his heart would say there is no God. Somebody help me with that one. Because y'all know I put it in the book somewhere. Oh God. I want y'all to get this, man. I don't even know how we got on this today. This is not where but I want y'all to get this and get it and let it sink in. Come on, Veronica say it's no goodness of my own. That's right. No goodness of my own. I know it's only by the grace of God. Can I take it? Somebody said go deeper earlier. Can I take it a step deeper? We have had people, myself, my Ebenezer Church family, my Bowling family, people that we know that have been affected. Infected and affected, right? Right? We just lost somebody. We just lost somebody this past weekend to the coronavirus. Somebody, one of our church members who hadn't been here before we left, but he's in a nursing facility, and he's gone. People that I bowled with for the last 3 or 4 years, some of them have gotten sick. Some of them got sick and never came home from the hospital. Some are still recovering now. And I got to wait for a praise and worship leader to tell me to stand up and to tell me to clap for God and to tell me to praise the Lord. You must be you got to be crazy as hell. I know how good God has been to me. I know what he's bringing people through. I've seen him do it. Glory to him. I've seen him do it. Come on now. She said, my son, a nurse, first responder, the Lord healed him. Come on. I mean, this is the time we got to get up off this. I'm self-reliant. I'm self-sufficient. I. See, we mess up the Bible verse. I think we forget the rest of the verse. I can do all things. And see, this is why I get upset when people quote Bible verses, and they cut them off, because what happens is other people hear you quote Bible verses. And then if they don't know, they don't really know, they start missing and learning stuff based off what they've heard you say. I can do all things. What's the whole verse? Through Christ, who strengthens me. It don't mean I can do all things because my name is Daniel. And secretly, in the back of my mind, somewhere in a small little part of the back of my mind, I truly believe I'm Batman, so I can do anything. That ain't what it says. That's not what it says. It don't say that. It's through Christ. It's because of him. It's because he kept me. It's because God kept me. It's because he's keeping you. So I don't need anybody else to give me a reason. I don't even have to look in the Bible. Watch this. I don't need the Bible to tell me to praise God anymore. See, the Bible, people need the Bible to tell you how to praise God because you have no real relationship. Once your real relationship kicks in with God, you don't have to tell me about what he did for Moses at the Red Sea. You don't need to refresh my memory. Once you got a relationship with God, you don't need to tell me what he did for Job. I feel preachy now. You don't need to tell me what he did for Job way back when you got your own relationship. You don't need to tell me what he did for Joseph down in the pit. You don't need to tell me what he did for Daniel in the lion's den. I don't need to hear that story because I got my own story. Huh? Glory to him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discounting the prophets. I'm not discounting the elders. I'm not discounting the apostles. I'm not discounting them. But what I'm saying is my relationship with God ain't based on what he did for them. My relationship with him is based on what he's doing for me. I feel all right. Y'all better come on and get some of this. I'm trying to get you there. That's why when we come back, when we do come back to this corporate gathering, when we're able to come back to this corporate gathering, are we praying that God would fix our hearts? Are we praying like David? We're so quick to talk about David danced, and you're right, sister, he did dance down to his Calvin Klein. Or his fruit in them, whatever y'all want to call it, But he danced down to him. But see, I want to go to that part of David when David was in trouble. Huh? Come on, y'all don't hear me. When David got himself in trouble, and David said, Lord, look here, I know I messed up. So can you give me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me? See, this time that you're sitting at home, this is the time you ought to be talking to God and saying, can you renew, God? Will you renew, God? I know you can renew a right spirit within me. So when I get back amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, Jesus, when I get back amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll have a renewed love, not just for, now watch this, because I'm renewing my love for you, I'm going to renew my love for them. Come on. Yes. He danced. She said he danced with substance. Oh, my God. That's rich. That's what I told y'all. Is your dance just because of the bump? Or are you thinking about where he brought you from? Are you thinking about, watch this, not where you could be, I could have been dead. No. See, it's time for some truth. Truth be told, I should be. If we were going to be 100% honest with God, truth be told, a lot of us know we shouldn't still be here. Shouldn't be preaching in nobody's pulpit, shouldn't be singing in front of nobody's choir, shouldn't be leading nobody's praise team, shouldn't be recording no new records, shouldn't be doing none of that. Truth be told, you know you should be, but by the grace. I need to move on. What time is it? I need to move on. 7:54, thank you. I need to move on. 8 o'clock, I'm moving on. But I think reading, skimming over this article that we're going over today and today's topic, you can be a church member and go to hell anyway. Don't get mad at me, y'all. That's the title of the article. Oh, God. Oh, help me today. I want y'all to get it, though. I want y'all to get it. It's rich. And I want y'all to get it. And not just get it, but I want y'all to recognize how good God really is. It's an old song the late great Deacon Ned Bird over at Kingdom Baptist Church used to sing a lot of times right before he would pray. And I don't know all the words to it. I'm sure Shiante know the words, and a couple of my other people on here that sing some songs. Y'all know some words, but the song just. Deacon Burgess he just get down on one knee, and he'd had a microphone tucked underneath the cuff of his arm, and he'd be on one knee, and Ned Bird would just get down there and say, by the grace, We've come a mighty long way. Come on now. Y'all know the song. Y'all know the song. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. When we get to a point where we can start to recognize it's only by the grace of God. Can we get there? Woo, Jesus. Can we get that in our spirits? Can we get to that point? My God. All right, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna chill for a moment. But we gonna come right back to it. This is rich, and it's blessing me. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting myself excited. But let's do this. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna jump right into today's topic of conversation. And it's good, y'all. It's good. Today's topic of conversation. Y'all ready for this? You can be a church member and go to hell anyway. Ooh, Lord, y'all ready? If y'all haven't hit the invite button, let me do this. I know y'all share, but do me a favor. Don't just share. Invite some people. We're going to take a break. I've seen the numbers fluctuate. I thought 22 people in here one time, now it's down to 14. I know we don't have no streaming issues because we seem to be okay right now. And our sound is good, right? Everything is good. So let me do this. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play this song for about 2 or 3 minutes. Hopefully Facebook don't act up on me. Don't want to do nothing funky. I'm going to play this song for a few minutes. And then when we come back, I want to see if we can get about 30 people in here because this is important. This is important. This is important. You can still go to church and still go to hell. Anyway, that's what the title of today's article is that we're going to be discussing today. All right. Let's do this here. This is good. I like this. Hezekiah Walker, y'all. Oh, no. I'm going back because I told y'all I don't need no reason. See, Hezekiah and then way back in the day with Orlando Draper, huh? With Orlando Draper and then we didn't freeze, did we? Okay, with Orlando. See, that's something going on this thing over here. Or with Orlando Draper some years ago, long, long time ago. Y'all know this is my joint. I've got a reason, huh? Come on, y'all. I feel like I could sing that if I had the right amount of practice. But see, my problem is obviously what you're trying to direct. People that know me know that's I love directing a good choir. Look here, on one of these joints right here, I would be no good. The choir be better than you, and I'd be in my own little world. But anyway, y'all, we got this really good article, and we're gonna jump into it. And I want y'all to get some of this with me. Amen. All right. Woo! Hold on. Let it go, Daniel. Save it for Friday. Ooh. I just figured it out. Choirs. Ricky Dillard versus Hezekiah Walker. That is. And the LST, like, is gonna be Ricky Dillard and New G versus Hezekiah Walker and that's it. That's it. I think that's it. Y'all, we gonna put up a thing up on the thing, not today, but throughout the week, and we gonna see by Thursday, however votes we get for whatever. Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, y'all, let's jump into this conversation. Let's see. See, you know what it is? I'm missing because I don't have my device. I should have brought one of my other iPads in here, and that one, it's all good. Because I don't have a separate thing, because I'm trying to watch all the feeds and do this. Oh, genius. Hold, please. All right. Sometimes, y'all, I forget stuff. Y'all pray for me. But I do. Sometimes I forget I can do that. Like that. All right. So let's get into it. This article... it's simply entitled, You Can Be a Church Member and Go to Hell Anyway. Woo! I know it sounds rough, and I know people go, why would you want to talk about this? Why you want to talk about this today? And why would you want to do that? And blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? We have to have real conversations. We have to have real conversations, and we can't be afraid to have real conversations. I believe part of our weaknesses as a faith community, if I can say it that way, is that we are afraid to have real conversations with our people. And so I think if we go ahead and have real conversations with our people, I think it'll put us in a position to be successful than otherwise. Now, I told y'all I wanted to get about 30 people on here, and the numbers went backwards. I said it the wrong way? Is that what it was? How did I say it?
I don't need none of y'all to watch the show.
Oh, so if I say I don't need nobody to watch it, then people come on. If I ask them to go get people, they don't go get them. Okay, all right. Oh, okay. So I need to do it like can't get right. Okay. I hear you. Okay.
I don't need that man, none of y'all.
Right, so I don't need none of y'all to watch it, and then they assist them on, and then the people just show up. Okay. All right, we're going to go anyway. but the title of the article was just written, what is this, April 17, 2020. This is what the writer says. The writer says, if you don't think you can be a church member and go to hell anyway, my computer's in the bag, and go to hell anyway, please read on. It's okay. He says, in 2002, I began ministry in the church. I promised God that I would follow the biblical dictates to structure and build this body of people into a New Testament church. My exact words that day in my study were, Lord, if I must go, allow this, can I get this to expand? Thank you. Allow this work to be an experiment in the lab of the world for building and maintaining a New Testament church. Y'all got it? Okay, we together on this. All right, let's go. So then the writer goes on to say this. He says, the church today, as was the church in Laodicea, is neither cold nor hot. It is not icy cold, as is the world who has never heard the gospel, or nor is it fire hot like a church that knows and accepts its rightful purpose in bringing Christ to the world. Oh, this is good. Rather, it's lukewarm, having been forged, watch this, by the grace of the gospel, we have now cooled down and become tepid, mainly due to our perceived self-sufficiency. Can we talk right there for a moment? He goes on to say, the crowds that show up at our churches are, for the most part, spectators and miracle seekers. They are not looking for spiritual growth that comes from the Word of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk right there for a moment. I believe wholeheartedly that a lot of us, people got into, you know, I love the song, Miracle Signs and Wonders. But that can't be why you're coming to church. We got it twisted when we started showing up for church thinking, oh, I'm just going to show up for the miracle. You know, it's a great song by the Clark Sisters, I'm Looking for a Miracle. It's a wonderful song. But are you studying the Word of God? Are you coming? Are you gathering? Are you a member? Because you could be a member of a family and still be on the outs. I like, there's a GIF, I think I saw it on Facebook, you know, it talked about shade, and there's one where the buildings go up and the shade goes over the top of the thing. Have you seen that? But you can be a church member and not have a relationship. And I like what the writer says. This thought process has grown out of our own self-sufficiency. Our perceived self-sufficiency. Because we've gotten so caught up in ourselves that we forgot why we're here in the first place. And it's just like some of the people who used to follow Jesus around. They just followed him around because they wanted to see what he was going to do next. And I said this. I love and respect everything that John Hanna does. I love and respect everything that Bishop T.D. Jakes does. I love what they do. I love even, what is that, All Nations, what's the pastor over there, the young pastor, All Nations Church, where all the young people go. I forget his name. Somebody help me out. But I love all the work that he does. Right? But here is my thing. Do you go to those churches because you want to be seen as being a part of the membership? Or are you going because there's some actual discipleship taking place? You go to Smokey Norfolk's church. I love Smokey Norfolk. He's a powerful, anointed preacher and singer. But are you going because there is a word that's going forth and you're becoming a better disciple? Or are you going simply so you can tell people, I go to Smokey Norfolk's church? Matthew Stevenson, thank you, Shante. Let's dig a little deeper into the article. The writer says this. He says, he says, we send checks to corporate offices and send missionaries to foreign lands, but the majority of American church members have outsourced the Great Commission to a select few. Uh-oh. And we have totally absolved ourselves of any personal responsibility to make disciples as we go through this life. We have left making disciples to the outreach, to the evangelism ministry. You know what I find funny in the Bible that there was no, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And in my years of preaching and being in ministry, I have read the Bible now in its entirety at least three times. From cover to cover. At least three times from cover to cover. I don't ever actually see an evangelism ministry. What I saw was people who had been discipled become disciples and go out and disciple people. That's what I saw. We should not relegate discipleship and evangelism only to those people who sit in the evangelism ministry. Well, it should never be about just what they're doing in the ministry. At some point, you would think that we would recognize, we keep talking about we want the church to grow, and then the first thing we say, well, what's the evangelism ministry doing? No, what are you doing? The article simply says you can go to church and still go to hell anyway. You can be a church member and go to hell anyway. The writer goes on to say this. Jesus says that a successful church is one that produces spiritual results in the lives of the people. That's a successful church. It produces spiritual results in the lives of the people. Come on now. Not numbers. We're not counting how many views we get. We're not counting how much money we raised. We're not worried about, well, we got this much and that. No. What spiritual results? A successful business, secular business is also result oriented, right? If I'm a store, you know, what's my overhead versus what money I'm bringing in? If I'm a business, how much money am I sending out versus what I'm getting in? Am I producing a good product? And is the product being sold? Are people liking it? Are people return customers? Right? That's in the secular world. In church, what are your spiritual results? If you had to put it on paper, and you sent out a survey. Oh, here we go. There go the brain again. There go the brain. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you asked the members of your church to fill out a survey and just ask them to put in their own words, how have you grown spiritually in the last 3 years? How have you grown spiritually in the last 3 years? Results. Are there areas that you see you need to grow? That's a result too, because that's at least telling you you recognize where you still need to grow spiritually. Let me get back to the article again, y'all. Simply entitled, "You Can Be a Church Member and Go to Hell Anyway." The writer says this. Jesus wanted to see if his teachings and examples were taking hold in the minds and hearts of his disciples. He didn't try to see how many people his disciples can go out and bring back home. He was trying to see if what he was teaching was taking hold in their minds first. This is why when folks join your church, you can't just put them on the committee talking about, all right, now you here, now go and do this. Wait a minute. Has the teaching taken place? Have they went through some form of training before we send it out? I say this all the time. Jehovah's Witnesses, y'all know the little cult. I say it all the time. Their mythology, what they do, how the method in which they train their people is pristine. They train their people long time before they send them knocking on your door, before they have them calling your phone. They have trained them. They have role played with them. I was in sales when I worked for Comcast. Y'all know it's Comcast, but I went through like 5 company changes before it became Comcast, maybe 6. I was I was a sales trainer for a while. I was the director of sales, regional director, all that stuff, right? But I had to teach people how to sell the product, right? And before I let them get on the phone, before I sent them to a house, before they went anywhere, they had to sit through some training. They had to convince me that they knew what they were doing. They had to convince me that before I sent them out, that they weren't going to go out and embarrass. Watch this. They weren't going to embarrass the company or the product. Same thing for church. Are we training our people so that they, watch this, they don't embarrass Jesus and his church? Come on now. Come on. Yo, everybody is supposed to be a disciple. Now, you may not have the gift of evangelism, but everybody is supposed to be a disciple. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. He goes on to say this. He says, the reason, he says, watch this. He says, there's a reason why he spent 3 years with 12 men as he set up the New Testament church. There is a reason why he spent, come on now, 3 years with 12 men while he set up the New Testament church. And the reason is relational discipleship. Y'all don't hear me. Relational discipleship, which cannot be accomplished in large groups as effectively as in smaller ones. Again, remember what we were talking about at the beginning of this. I was talking about rekindling your relationship with the Father while you're outside of your church walls. Relational, fixing your relationship with Jesus. The reason you and Sister So-and-so ain't going to never get along in church is because your relationship with him ain't right. Because your relationship was right with him, she couldn't affect you anymore. He wouldn't bother you anymore if your relationship was right with him. The writer goes on to say, the reason is relational discipleship, which cannot be accomplished in larger groups as effectively as in smaller ones. He goes on to say, again, we're talking about how to be a church member and go to hell anyway. And the writer says this. He says, this was the title of a series that I preached in his first pastorate. He says, the point of the series was to focus on the things that the church members consider sacred and accept as spiritual truth. Mainly, it demonstrated the fact that being religious and being rightly related to Christ are two very different things with very different destinies. Can I read that again? That's rich. Being religious and being rightly related. Oh, God. That'll preach by itself. Being religious and rightly related. Oh, God. It's two different things. Oh, my God. Let me share the story that the writer wrote. He says, during the invitation, this is the preacher, and the preacher's name is the writer of this article. What's the guy's name? Oh, Robert Williams. He says, during the invitation, a 67-year-old grandmother came forward to accept Jesus as her Savior. This is her statement. She says, Pastor, when I was 12 years old, my mother made me sit on the bench right there until I joined church. And I realized that back then I got religion. But today I want to get Jesus. And that's what it's all about. It's not about getting religion. It's not about getting religion. It's about getting Jesus. It's about salvation. See, now watch this. Why, can I read the story a little bit more? This is what the writer says. He says, while the salvation delighted heaven and her pastor, it did not delight the members of the church, because they attacked the woman as only church folk can do, verbally and by disassociating with her within their cliques. Nothing in my estimation was more evil than this, to see and hear how church folk treated this woman because she came to Christ. She later left the church. Because, see, they were upset because they knew her to be in church all that long, and she stood up and told them that she never had a relationship with God until that moment. I've tried to express that at my former church in their 47 years, I think now. This is year 47 coming up, or 48? This is an even year, so it's going to be year 48. Because they were in 72. So, yeah, because it'll be 50 years in 22. So, but I tried to express that to them in their time frame. I tried to share that with the members over here at Ebenezer. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member. It's your relationship that matters. It's your relationship that matters. Let me get down to the end. We got 10 minutes. I want to be on time today. The writer says, when human history, human heart and human head govern one relationship or lack thereof with Christ, there is zero acknowledgement of the word of God. Without such acknowledgement, it is impossible, oh God, to know the will of God or to perform the work of God. Let me help you. I have conversations with people all the time, and I told somebody this the other day. I said, I pray because I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing is in God's will for me. Right? So even if it's a conversation, and if it's a conversation that I don't need to be having, look here, God, let's move that out the way. Let's move that out the way. If it's a situation that I don't need to be in, let's move that out the way. Thank you, God. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. And you can't do that. You don't have the humility to recognize that I need to ask God about said conversation. Because if I have this perceived self-sufficiency, I start believing, oh, I can have this conversation because I got this. This is what I do. Oh, this is what I do. That's why when somebody asks you to pray for them, I pray real quick to God. Lord, give me the right words. Give me the right words. Somebody reach out and say, I have this situation. Can you help me with this? Okay, Lord, help me with this. Because, see, we'll go off our own perceived self-sufficiency and start saying some stuff that God didn't give us. And you end up creating a stumbling block for somebody else. Let me move on. The writer says this. He says, the question the deacon asked me in order to argue his point was, Reverend, how do you explain all these years of existence and these buildings and people who have faithfully lasted almost 200 years? And he said, my reply was a story I heard from a professor years earlier. There was a delegation of Chinese Christians who were brought to the United States to observe the success and largeness of certain denominations. Upon the completion of the trip, the church leader asked the Chinese visitors what their observations had taught them. They replied, we have learned and are amazed by the fact that that the American church can accomplish so much without God. Did y'all catch that? I'll read that again because I feel like I might have rushed it. Let me read that again. He says, the deacon asked him, how do you believe the church, our church, has been able to last for over 200 years? And he told the story. Let me read it again. He says, there was a delegation of Chinese Christians who were brought to the United States to observe the success and largeness of certain denominations. Upon the completion of the trip, the church leader asked the Chinese visitors what their observations had taught them. They replied, we have learned and are amazed by the fact that the American church can accomplish so much without God. Did y'all get that? That's crazy without God. He says, because here's the deal. We start building and start forgetting the foundation. We start building and we start forgetting the foundation. We start forgetting who the Creator was. We get excited, watch this, because we get access to all these resources. Help me, Jesus. We get excited because we have all these resources, but we forget the source. Resources are wonderful, but resources can run out. But my source, oh God, help me. I wish I could remember that young brother's name from Freedom when I was over there for one of those the young brother said he used his cell phone as a wonderful preacher illustration. He used his cell phone and all of the resources of his cell phone. He said, it's amazing. It does this, it does that, and I can text, and I can FaceTime, I can chat, I can do my homework, I can send emails, I can have several meetings, I can conference calls, I can do all these things. I can do all these things. But when my resource gets ready to run out, I start looking for a source. Because I recognize that in all of the greatness of the iPhone, all of the greatness of the Samsung Galaxy, all of the greatness of your Google Pixel, all of the greatness of your MacBook, all of the greatness of your HP ThinkPad and your Lenovo Book and all those wonderful things, if they are not reconnected to the source, often they become worthless. Huh? Y'all know before we got all these travel charges and all these extra phone charges we got in y'all cars. Don't ever get my car. I got enough cords to probably, you know, yeah, I know. Right. But you know, I got a cord for everybody, right? But we got all these cords. Why? Because if I go out somewhere and the phone get down to, thank you, and the phone get down to, that's because I was on time and I started rambling, but the phone get down to 3%, and that's you still got a new phone, because 3% on a new phone is still good. You got a phone that's over 2 years old, 3%? You ain't really got 3%. But you get down to 3%, you start panicking. Because you start looking for some place to plug in. And what happens is, once that thing is there, and if you have no source, it's a paperweight. It serves no purpose. What am I saying? You, I'm looking right at you. I'm looking at y'all when I see me. If you don't connect to the source and get a recharge from him, you're just blowing dead air. You're blowing smoke. That's why your prayer life is so important. That's why worship is so important. It reconnects us to the source. Help me now. Oh, my God. What'd you say, Patricia Buck? She says, we get so caught up in all the stuff we're doing that we forget the reason why we started doing it. Oh, glory to him. Message, benediction. Come on, let's close this out. The writer says this. Excuse me, he says, why must we fight for the revenants? Did I just say that? I said revenants. See, I caught myself though, they will never get to make fun of me. Why must we fight for the relevance of the New Testament church? He says, because, watch this, he says, because it's not complete and Satan is not yet confined. Moreover, because the believer must not be led to believe that a seat in the sanctuary takes the place of the hands, the feet, heart, eyes, and the voice of Jesus Christ in the streets. Oh, can I read that for somebody in the balcony? Huh? He says, why must we fight for the relevance of the New Testament church? Because the church is not complete and Satan is not yet confined. And he says, moreover, because the believer must not be led to believe that a seat in the sanctuary, come on now, takes the place of your hands, your feet, your heart, your eyes, and the voice of Jesus Christ in the streets. That's real talk. That's real talk. That blessed me. I don't know about y'all. That thing blessed me. That blessed me. That showed me right there that there is a need for us to get back to our relationships and not to be shamed if we realize that you've been in church a long time and you're out of it. Some of you have been in church and you started in relationship and got out of it. Just like I would do on Sunday, I'm going to give you the opportunity now to get it right. I don't know where I'm. It's just where I am. I think this is the time while we're separated from each other that we can examine ourselves. Just like the Bible says in Corinthians, let a man examine himself. This is the time where we can start examining ourselves and seeing where we are in our Christian walk. Are we the same person that got baptized at 12? Is the relationship that we had at 12 the same one we have now at 50? Is the relationship better or worse? Was it better when you were 12? Oh, God, I hope not. Where did you stand in your Christian walk? I think this time of separation between us and our congregations should give us a time of reflection, personal reflection. Where does your heart lie? What's your thinking? What's your purpose? What promise has God? Oh God, thank you, Holy Ghost. What promise has God promised you that you are still yet not walking in? Some people might not be able to answer that question. That in itself is a problem. Do you know what God has promised you? My God. That's it, y'all. That's it. This was awesome. This was, you know what? This is why I love, and I share this with y'all all the time. This is why I love doing the show. Seriously, I love doing this because it's a teaching moment, some of you all think I'm teaching you, what's actually happening is I'm being taught. Because it's a learning as you go process, right? I'll be 50 years old next month. But I am still a relatively young preacher, right? I am young in the ministry. So I feel like, you know, if the disciples had 3 years, and if I was equating the disciples 3 years to mine, this is 2020, I got licensed in 10. So, yeah, wow. I'll be celebrating 10 years of ministry this year, too. Wow. 10 years of ministry. This is what I'm thinking. If I equated my time in ministry to the apostles' 3 years in ministry, I feel like I'm right at year two or year one and a half. See what I'm saying? That's my thought process. That's my thought process. So it's a learn as you go. And then when I get stuck, when I get confused, when I get a little disappointed, when I get a little down, I just connect back to the source. That's all I do. I just connect back to the source, because I recognize that he is, you know, like Richard Smallwood would say, he is the source of my strength. I recognize that I can't do anything without him. It doesn't take much for me. You know, back in the day when I thought I was invincible, when I could, you know, I would run and do any and everything and drive any kind of way and be up and out all night and all of those things. You see that? I know, right? That would be kind of cool. But I recognize that I have to reconnect to God often. Right, and things are happening now. I'll just share with you all. Things are happening now, even in my life now, that I constantly go back to God. I say, God, are you sure? Is this what you're doing right now? Really? Is this where we're going? Because I want to make sure that decisions that I'm making for myself and my family are right. Right, things that I'm doing, things that I'm building, even with what we do here at this radio show. We don't just do it because we want to get viewers. If y'all ever listen to this show or watch, if this is your first time watching this show, I really don't care. My concern about viewers is that the word is going forward. But if don't nobody do nothing, it's okay. We've had times when we've been on here and there's been a bunch of people and there's been no people. And guess what? We do it anyway. That's why I don't mind preaching to 12 people sitting in the sanctuary at virtual church. It's not about the numbers. It's about the word going forward. God said, lift him up. He'll do the drawing. He'll do the drawing. And I'm never going to take credit for something that God does. I'm never going to take credit, even in these 49, soon to be 50 years. I know for a fact that I can name 10 years off the top of my head by name, the year and the date, at least 10 times that he should have took me right on up out of here. 10 times. 10 times. So I know I'm not here because, it's just so great, so wonderful, and all that good stuff. No, I know he has a purpose for me. It just so happened that I just decided to start walking in it in my 40s. this is the time I think we could all use to build relationships, and to rebuild our relationship, right? Amen. Look, let's pray so we can go home, y'all. Father God, Lord, we come, Lord, we want to say thank you, God. We want to thank you, God, for your word, God, the word that cuts both ways, God. We thank you, God, for conviction on tonight, God. We thank you that you may have showed someone that's listening or watching right now, God, that yes, they're a church member, but even though they have membership, that they have no relationship. And God, the purpose of this, God, we thank you, God, because we don't want anybody to get to the end, God, and to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. God, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, God. And we know in order to get that, God, we know that there are some things that we have to be right with, some things that have to be right with us here, God. First, our relationship with you has to be right, God. How we praise you has to change. How we worship you has to change, God. How we honor you has to change, God. Then how we love you has to change, God. Then not only how we love you, God, but how we love on each other has to change. How we talk to each other has to change. Lord God, how we use our tongues, God, to tear people down, God. God, give us the, God, bridle our tongues and train them, God, so that when we speak, God, we speak as only you would have us speak, God, not to tear down, God, but to build up in your name, Jesus. Ah, bless him. Glory to him. God, let us build each other up, God. Let us lift each other up, God. Let us recognize, God, that we can do nothing without you and that we are nothing without you. But that it's in you that we have our being, God. That it's in you we move, God. That it's in you, God. Everything that we do comes from you. Every good and perfect thing, high glory to him, comes from you. Lord God, we love you on today, and we bless you on today. Now as we get ready to leave this place for never your presence, we ask for traveling mercy and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woo, y'all, I got to go. I got to go. Help me today. I got to. But now I bless you out there. Bless you, man. You be good, D. oh my God! It's an old song. Somebody typed up the other day. I think it said it's good to know Jesus. It's good to know him. Look, y'all, I'm gonna get out of here. I'll see y'all on Friday. I'll see y'all on Friday. Yeah, I'll see y'all on Friday. Yeah. And we, if y'all get ready, we're gonna put the post up. Maybe we get it up tonight if I can get it together. I got to work on Bible study. I got to teach Bible study Wednesday, and I got to get my stuff together, get my little presentation together and all that, and yeah. So, but yeah, we're going to put something out, because I think right now I'm liking Ricky Dillon and New G versus Hezekiah Walker and the LFC. Was that Love Fellowship Choir? Is that what it is? Yeah, Love Fellowship Choir. I think that's going to be the one, because they got some bangers. For Friday, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to see if Facebook don't mess with us again. But we're going to get it in. Y'all be good, man. Look, if you got to drive through these special streets we call Chicago, y'all be safe, man. Y'all stay out of trouble. But do this, my brother and my sister. Y'all keep y'all head on the swivel. We out.